we are embarking a new series of sermons from the book of James, and together we will discover a Christian lifestyle of maturity that James teaches in his letter. And by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer that we grow mature spiritually. Our question is, who was the author of the book of James? Obviously, James introduced himself as the author of the book of James. And most Bible scholars suggest that James was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was also the council leader of the Jerusalem church. But not a few believers have known that the English name James was translated from Greek name Iakobos, a variant of Hebrew name Jacob. So why did Bible translators use the name James instead of Jacob? Well, speculators suggest that the name James had been used to identify disciples of Christ from the Hebrew patriarch Jacob. But no official document supports such concept. Anyway, the letter of James did not address any specific church, just like the letters of Paul, the Galatians, Ephesians, Corinthians, Philippians, or individuals. It was written to encourage Christians who were scattered all over the world. And Bible scholars suggest that particularly Christians with Jewish background were the primary recipients of the book of James. So, since most of us, I don't know if some of you have Jewish background, but most of us, I think that we don't have Jewish background, would the practicality of Christian belief in the book of James, the book that James teaches, would it be very useful, helpful to help us grow spiritually mature? That's why now. James described himself as servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he did not mention that he was the council chairman or council leader of Jerusalem Church. And many individuals, he would crave for prestigious office, prestigious ranks, stature, standing. But God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a servant of the Lord is the most exemplary and commendable. Listen. To be servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ is greatest prestige that genuine Christians should aspire for. You want to be commended by the Lord, aspire as servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus had implied in his illustration in a parable that what believers should aspire in this world. If we expect rewards from God, it teaches that faithful servants should expect. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, he said, "Well done," let's read, "well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Look at that. You've been faithful with a few things. Well, the Lord expects that we cannot be faithful in everything, but at least in few things we can be faithful. But what does sharing the happiness of the master, what does that mean? God is eternally blessed. In blessedness means supreme happiness. God is satisfied eternally. and He welcomes faithful servants to share in His glorious blessedness and happiness. Just imagine. Think for a while. Who is that person that you would consider very blessed? Who is that person? Do you know a person who is very blessed? And that person would say, come work with me. Because you love to be with that person, you are blessed. That blessed person, you faithfully work with that person. And that person said, I will share with you whatever I have. I will share with you my happiness. Think about that. How much more with God? Humans are limited, yet God has eternal blessedness, unending, unlimited blessedness. Now observe reflectively. The Lord never, in this passage, He never specified any office. He did not say, well done, faithful pastor. Well done, faithful preacher. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, missionary, seminary professors, administrators, church leaders, deacon, elders. He did not mention. No ministry office is more important. There are no trivial, no minor ministries before God. Why did the Lord, why did He not mention any particular ministry office which we identify? What's the purpose of this specific office position? If all ministries are equally important to God. Well, let's read what Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, and find that out. Verse 11, let's read. Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, and yet previously He did not even mention, welcome, faithful apostles, welcome, faithful prophets, welcome, faithful evangelists, welcome, faithful pastor, teachers. He did not mention that, but He gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and many others. But these particular leaders, why were they given to the church? First, to equip people for the service of work. For us, everybody of us, all of us will be built up to mature. It means mature spiritually. Until when we mature spiritually, we reach unity. That is our purpose as a church. We reach unity. Without leaders, unity is very hard to happen in the church. Don't ask now why this unity can happen. Maybe many are not yet built up, matured. But that is our purpose, our goal, to become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has instructed us to be His witnesses, to go and make disciples. But God rewards faithfulness when we obey in the ministry services that we chose to join, get involved with. The leaders that the Lord gave to the church, they are necessary to identify which ministry God has designed for each of us, where He wants us to excel. Not everyone is called to be pastor, teachers, but others are called to share the gospel, testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, start church, or maybe identify where to start a church. So, when we use our spiritual gifts, we grow mature spiritually. Many individuals have not yet identified their spiritual gifts. This is where there's confusion when one does not know if he or she was not called to be in that kind of ministry, but insist on doing such ministry. Eventually, that person would be frustrated because that is not the spiritual gift that the Lord gave. God chooses leaders and members of particular ministries. This is where we need to be prayerful and listen carefully. Search our hearts. Did God call me in this ministry? The Lord expects faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness and diligence of service will be rewarded. It's not being a leader or being a member of such and such ministry. It's the faithfulness and diligence that we have that the Lord would reward. God continue to observe. He observed our lifestyle, not just inside the church building, but even where we go in our situation. He always look at us to see if we are rewarded appropriately. He does not just say, "Oh, because you joined the evangelism ministry, I will reward you. Because you joined the music ministry, I will reward you." He did not say that. It's the faithfulness of what we do that He would reward. Spiritual maturity is very essential and instrumental to faithfulness. The more we grow mature spiritually, the more we understand faithfulness and diligence, service to the Lord, that the Lord would reward. So spiritual maturity of Christian is practically manifested. It is exhibited, it is proven through diligence and faithfulness to the Lord. Ask yourself, have I matured spiritually? Look at your diligence, your faithfulness in what you are involved in. So what can we learn from the book of James about lifestyle of mature Christian maturity? What are practical manifestations? What are practical proofs in the lifestyle of believers who have matured spiritually? One is joy. Let's read verse 1 and 2. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greeting. Consider it your joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now the term consider is to esteem, to suppose, to count, to regard, to think. And believers who have matured spiritually would experience joy even when they face trials, surrounded by challenges, or in the midst of struggle. Joy, gladness, or delight, it amplifies diligence and faithfulness. You want to do something to keep doing for the Lord because you sense that joy even when others are opposing you. But the joy you have in your heart, they don't know. It's you who know it. And you want to keep on, keeping on because you want that experience that you have, the joy you have. And we grow in confidence that the Lord rewards faithfulness. It teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, let's read, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, He will let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, the Greek origin of the term temptation, it has Greek origin of the term trial. So when James said, whenever you face trials, he was also pertaining to that temptation that Apostle Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So why did James advise to regard as pure joy, to consider as pure joy, to esteem as pure joy, to thank as pure joy when we encounter trials, when we have temptation, when we have trouble? Joy is practical proof of trust in the Lord. That we trust the Lord that He designed great things for believers. You keep on keeping on despite of trials because you know this is a testing of my faith, and the Lord would eventually reward me of my faithfulness. So reflect on this. Can you easily rejoice during difficulties, struggles? You just cannot rejoice readily when problems arise because our instinctive tendency is to be sad, pathetic, and miserable. But it's our human nature. When we are struggling in life, we cannot force to be joyful, can we? If we cannot readily consider it as pure joy when we face trials, troubles, or difficulties, what did James want us to learn? Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It did not originate from us. So we cannot force to come out from us if joy did not originate from us. We cannot be naturally joyful during trials, during struggles. Joy in the midst of struggles practically exhibits, it proves our reverent submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. He lords over us, in us, our life. Meaning, when Christ actively performs His lordship over us, when He actively guides us and leads us, His Holy Spirit empowers us, and He produces joy in us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Even in trials, we would sense that when the Holy Spirit empowers us. Let me share with you something. Some of you may have heard this story before, but there was a newly graduate Christian who was favored and employed by the same organization that had supported his studies. This organization supported this student, and when this student graduated, he was also employed by the same organization. So he was very enthusiastic worker. in personal way of showing his gratitude, he dreamed. He did not mention to anyone, but he dreamed of serving the said organization and not aspire for other bigger companies or organizations. He aspired that he would retire in that organization because he was so grateful that this organization helped him in his studies. Yet, few years later, the leadership of that organization had changed and they decided to terminate this said student or employee. And friends, individuals close to him, they sympathized with him because they knew that he did not have any other source of income to support his growing family. Yet, this Christian was not bothered at all about his future. And it came to his mind a Bible passage that inspired him. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now think about it. If we cannot bring anything when we depart from this world, why do we crave for worldly things? Why do we want to have this, that, and those things? Of course, individuals with worldly mindset focus on worldly things. But may the Lord help us grow mature spiritually as we grow deeper in our understanding that we should focus more attention and be faithful to the things that the Lord had prepared for us, things that would benefit us eternally. What are the things that would benefit us eternally? One thing, be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you will know which thing, which activities, which ministry involvement that would benefit you eternally. Truly, whenever we face difficulties that we had not encountered before, that you could, if this struggle that you did not experience before, I was not there before, our tendency is to feel bad about such situation. During difficulties, examine your faith in the Lord if you can. Problem about health, finances, relationship, or family, personal problem. If you can, ask yourself, how's my faith in Christ? Have I grown mature spiritually or not yet? Do I sense the joy in the midst of trial? When you have that problem, just try. Do I sense joy? Do I have that peace in me? Because joy and peace comes together, actually. They go hand in hand because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Or do I panic? Or do I feel bad? It is helpful to read the Word of God. The Word of God is very helpful if we can read it regularly. Regularly meaning you can read it every morning, every afternoon, or at night time. Daily, if you would. I'm not saying that you would go through the whole Bible at one time. Just read a passage. I can suggest you can read from, start from the Proverbs. That is one thing that is very helpful, or even in this, in book of James, and your soul will be refreshed even when we face difficulties. Really, can you believe it? Can you believe that when you read the Word of God, you will be refreshed? Now that employee that I mentioned a while back, You read about the book of Job. And remember that the suffering that Job had is far worse than his experience. So when Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I depart, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." That employee was thinking, "I did not apply for that job. The company took me because they supported my studies. So if they terminate me," he believes that it was God who allowed it to happen. And he believes that if God gave him that good job, he would give a better job. That was what happened to Job. If you read the story of Job, it says in Psalm chapter 19, verse 7, let's read this together. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Now, if you can memorize this chapter, chapter 19 of Psalm, for the whole year, and ask the Lord to enlighten you what it means, next year, if you read again, there's something wonderful in this. It says, it refreshed the soul. Meaning, even during difficult times, reading the Word of God, the law of the Lord, the Word of God, His instruction, it refreshes the weary soul. And if you think that you are not very wise, it says, making wise the simple. How could that be? In your decision making, your decisions would be seen by the Lord as wise. And even you would observe that you would make wise decisions eventually. So are you puzzled by problems at workplaces persist? Even when you do the best to be productive as employee, why are people so mean and offensive when you try to be kind to them? Do you overlook, do you let it slide when you are offended? God's Word provides necessary refresher. Friends, regularly read the Word of God and you will be refreshed and become wise. It is wise not to fight back when you're offended. You may not understand everything now, but know that the Lord allows predicaments for the betterment of those who trust in Him. Experiences of biblical characters can also inspire us. Now, have you read about Abraham? Abraham, he was very old. Abraham had many problems, but he was called the father of faith. Joseph had many brothers, and yet his brothers sold him as a slave. What happened to him? He kept on trusting the Lord, and he became the prime minister of Egypt. And He was also kicked out by his brothers. And yet, eventually, his own brothers who did not want him, they asked him to be their leader. And David was very young. He was also bullied by his brothers. Actually, why was David bullied by his brothers? Well, because he was the youngest. You go and take care of the sheep. You are not supposed to be in the army. To be in the army at that time is some kind of prestige. Well, I am a soldier. I am a lieutenant. I remember that something. When I was working as security guard, my name is Salong my initial is LT, Lieutenant. So my home guard called me Teniente, Lieutenant. And the person who was very problematic in our group, well, they called him Major Problem. And our head guard was his family name was Col, C-O-L. So they called him Colonel. But there was a person who is really wise. He's witty, smart, and he called himself General. So that because he wanted to be the best. So, and our department, our detachment, every time we go have a meeting with the other guards, they call us. They know that they call us with our name because that's how we call ourselves in our detachment. Well, people would like to be in that situation even if they are not. And that was what happened to David. David was not, maybe he desired to be a soldier, but he was the youngest, so no, you go to be a shepherd, and shepherd were, if you are a shepherd at that time, they would look down on you. That's not a prestigious work. In Job, you know the story of Job. Everything that he had, he lost, even his children. Even his wife told him, curse God and die. And his friends, they were supposed to be there to comfort him, but they, Job, you have sinned, that's why it's happening to you. Maybe something like that. And Esther was an orphan. No mother, no father, but she became queen. Daniel, your Apostle Paul. But ask yourself, do you have pure joy when you face trials? Joy manifests your faith in the Lord. Let's read again verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of faith produces perseverance. Faith comes from God. Faith from God is alive and active. Faith is confidence in the Lord. Confidence that He has great plans for you, for me. Such godly faith is gift from God. So don't just claim, I have faith. Instead, ask God, Lord, give me faith. Faith, it does not come from us. So you just cannot say, I have faith. No. Anyone can claim that they have faith, but they did not know that faith is gift of God. So ask the Lord, give me faith. How can we be sure that we have faith? If we have faith or no faith, can we sense faith? Can you hear faith? Can you see faith? Can you touch faith? Smell faith? We cannot, right? Genuine faith in God must be tested to know that we have faith. How is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Your faith will eventually test it if you haven't yet. What are godly means to test faith? Trials, difficulties, struggles, concerns of life, problems. Your problem measures your faith. So how do you know that you have faith? That your faith is tested during difficulties, during struggles, during concerns of life. Of course, nobody is exempted from difficulties. Nobody can say, I don't have struggles. Nobody can say, I don't have problems. Nobody can say, I don't have concern. If you don't have difficulties, if you don't have struggles, if you don't have problems, you don't have concern of life, you are nobody. But for believers, trials, difficulties, struggles, problems, and concerns of life, they are godly instruments to test our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For us to know practically, if we are growing mature spiritually, if your faith in God is genuine, you would certainly desire to grow mature spiritually. Do you desire to mature spiritually? So in the midst of trials, you sense that joy in your heart. You must have grown mature spiritually. So look out. Look out. Be aware of your struggle. Then check, do I have that joy? If you don't have yet, then ask the Lord, increase my faith. Testing of our faith commensurate to faith we have in the Lord. The heavier your testing is, the stronger your faith is. As we grow in our faith, we experience more of His grace and His love for us. If you cannot perceive trials or difficulties as testing of faith, if you cannot sense that joy in your heart, you feel depressed, emotionally disturbed during difficulties, ask the Lord, do I have faith? Do I have faith? Then ask, Lord, give me faith. Increase my faith, O Lord. Empower me with your Holy Spirit. Peace, 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 peace. It's free. It's a gift. He would give it to the one who asks. When the Holy Spirit produces joy in us, we can acknowledge, we can ascertain that faith is tested when difficult concerns of life attack. We sense that joy in our hearts, and we become more proactive, productive, and figure out solutions to the problem instead of just sulking or playing blame games. Like, for example, you are playing basketball. Many Filipinos love basketball. And you lose because of him. Yeah, this happens in the professional basketball world. Blame games is a natural inclination of the sinful human tendency. Years ago, there was this professional sports team lost its chance to advance during playoff games. The team was considered championship caliber by experts and pundits. In a crucial game, they could have easily won, but one of the greater players made a terrible decision and he was blamed that their team was eliminated from playoff games. Subsequently, that great player, I don't want to be in this team anymore. He wanted to be out of the team. He wanted to be out, to be traded to another team. Blame game damaged the friendship they have in the team. There are undesirable circumstances that can happen, that can develop, that can surface when there's blame game, when blame game is entertained. If someone blames you for terrible situation, can you easily ignore it? Or do you look for someone to blame? Blame game is biblical human problem. From the very beginning, when the Lord asked Adam, did you eat the forbidden fruit? What did Adam say? He did not say no. He'd say, the woman you gave me, he gave me. And Eve, what did you do? That ancient serpent, he enticed me. Blame game from the very beginning. And there's blame game. The human sinful nature had prevailed. It's sinful nature of humanity. Blame game. So when you sense like you are blaming somebody, when the flower vase is broken, instead of cleaning, who broke this flower vase? And you want to, you clean, you broke. Something like that. Apostle Paul advised us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. Let's read. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in this warped and crooked generation. Yes, in this world, populated world, warped and crooked generation, we have much problem, but we've got to grow spiritually. We should work out our salvation well to make sure that we have active faith in the Lord. Genuine faith is tested to know the level of our spirituality. The more our faith is tested, the more we grow mature. For everyone who loves to drive, when you are driving, and suddenly cut into your path, how do you react? For students, teachers also make mistakes, made mistake of your grades. Maybe your grade is failing and the teacher made mistake of giving you passing grade, you may not react much. But otherwise, some would react surely. If your boss blame you for a mistake you did not commit, if you're watching basketball and the referee favored the other team, how do you feel or react? Now, you might have watched the game last night between Toronto Raptors and Denver. Mm-hmm. Why did the referee didn't call that foul? Well, pray for increase of faith in the Lord or also spiritual growth. Pray that you would grow spiritually. Another manifestation of faith that had matured spiritually is perseverance. Perseverance of joy, of faith, and the perseverance. Be sure you have them. In verse 2, 3, and 4, it says, consider it your joy. We have that. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Verse 3, because you know the testing of your faith. We have faith that produces perseverance. Verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, perseverance and maturity become together. Perseverance is steadfastness. Steadfastness is steady, being steady. That steadfastness. Resiliency, despite obstacles, patience, endurance, to continue doing a given task despite of difficult obstacle. Perseverance of believers, we grow strong in our hope, determination, in our confidence in the Lord. Confidence that the Lord would accomplish great things for believers who persevere. This is why perseverance is needed for believers. Many Baptists would say, once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. The person who says that without perseverance is deceiving himself. You say, once saved, always saved. Make sure that you have perseverance. Perseverance of the saints. You don't have perseverance, you are just deceiving yourself. And many are deceiving themselves that once saved, because they prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they thought that they have been eternally saved. Yes, if they have perseverance. When our faith in the Lord produces perseverance in us, we can be very sure that we have grown spiritually mature. We have no desire to quit. We persist. We are determined to keep on trusting the Lord. No matter what may happen in the church, if there are problems in the church, I keep on. No matter what may disturb, what may frustrate, what may irritate us, we keep on. We persist. In the midst of trials, when situations are not favorable, we keep hoping that the Lord would do great things for our best. Perseverance practically exhibits spiritual maturity. So when faith in the Lord produces perseverance, do we still feel bad, you may ask? Do I still feel bad? When I'm laid off from the work, if I have perseverance, do I still feel bad? When I fail in my exams, do I still feel bad? When you share the gospel and people would ignore you, do you still feel bad? Well, any undesirable situation may cause us to feel bad, but when our faith in God produces perseverance in us, we persist with resiliency. We keep believing in spite of difficulties or obstacles of life. With perseverance, we trust the Lord no matter what situation we may face. We discover that we lack nothing. We experience the fullness of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ promised, I have come that you may have life to its fullness, life abundantly. That's when we have that perseverance grown in us. It is when we completely submitted to the Lord as our shepherd. Have you trusted Jesus Christ like David? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's read Psalm 23, verse 1 to 6. Read this meditatively. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pasture. Leads me beside quiet waters. Refreshes my soul. Guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is not just a simple poem. That is a testimony of what King David experienced personally with the Lord. Ask yourself, do I lack nothing of basic necessities? Do we have the tranquility of heart and mind in the midst of difficulties? Do you desire to follow the path of the Lord? Do you have that desire? When uncertainties arise, do you hope that the Lord had prepared better future for you? Do you have that desire to read the Word of God? Do you find comfort, refreshing comfort in his instruction, his staff? Are you comfortable when people around you are not very friendly? Do you have a strong confidence that the Lord has designed circumstances, series of events, series of struggles for your betterment? Do you have that confidence? Strong confidence. Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, also glorified. Now, this is one thing that you want to memorize, that verse 30, not just verse 28. It says, those who predestined, if you are predestined to be with the Lord forever, He called you. What is your calling? If you are called, you will be justified before the Lord. This is why, and glorified forever. This is why it says in verse 28, can you go back to that verse 28? You know that all things work for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Know the purpose of the Lord for you. Know your calling, and you will be sure that all things, everything works for your good. It's great hope to live with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and be glorified, isn't it? What do you think? Can you say amen to that? Do you know how wonderful heaven is? Do you have that in your heart? Ask the Lord to increase your faith. Make sure that you really have faith in the Lord. Don't deceive yourself. Faith in the Lord should be tested. Evaluate yourself personally. Don't wait for others to ask you. Evaluate yourself personally if you have faith in the Lord. Can you give me that last slide? Ask yourself, do I sense joy when I am in difficulty, when I have difficult concerns, when I face obstacles of life? Do I personally sense that my faith in the Lord is tested when I have problems? Do I persevere and continue to trust the Lord no matter what may come? Now, if you are convinced and have affirmative answers without any doubt, praise the Lord. You say to those questions, yes, yes, I believe. If you have no doubt, say praise the Lord. I'm not forcing you. I'm not forcing you. Just try. You cannot, then you are not ready to say yes convincingly and have uncertainties in your heart and in your mind, pray for increase of faith. Say simple prayer like this: Lord, increase my faith. Pray silently. Increase my faith, Lord, and fill me. Empower me by your Holy Spirit. Just pray right now. Pray until you sense that joy in the midst of trials. And you persevere even during unfavorable situations. Glory to God. Glory to our Heavenly Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we stand up? Bow down your head, please. If you have any doubt, keep praying, Lord, increase my faith. Keep praying, Lord, fill me with, and empower me by your Holy Spirit. Keep praying, not just today. You can do it every now and then, The Lord will know. The Lord knows when you would stop. He will tell you. He would assure you that you have already received faith from Him, that you are already empowered. But time and time again, ask the Lord to fill you and empower you with His Holy Spirit.